Clay Travis is with us now, the founder of OutKick, at Clay Travis on Twitter. He's on the Pepsi Hotline. What's up, Clay? How are you?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Great, thank you. I mean, you know, look, when Alabama football, the Alabama football, uses you as motivation, I mean, that's quite a compliment to you. You were in the actual video they released as one of the doubters when you said, I don't think Alabama football is very good.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was you. Now, I hate to tell you this. It was you and Skip Bayless. Andy Staples.
Just the two of us.
No. Andy Staples was in there. Andy's respected. Barrett Salee was in there. Barrett's respected. And then you. I think those were the four.
I'd love to see that video. One of you guys.
I'll text it to you. Yeah, I'll text it to you.
I haven't. I didn't know that. That's pretty funny. I mean, look, I'm stunned. Not that necessarily Alabama won. If they, you know, if Alabama had won 24-20 or, you know, 21-17, some low scoring game where there's a defensive score, blocked punt, you know, special teams play. But I watched Alabama in person at the Iron Bowl, and they could not block the defensive front for Auburn basically all day. And I know Jameson Williams got kicked out for the targeting halfway through the second quarter or so, if I remember correctly. And that obviously hamstrung their offense somewhat. But they weren't very good before Jameson Williams got kicked out. And they didn't really block that well, I didn't think, against Arkansas. They certainly didn't block that well against the defensive front for Texas A&M. So the most stunning outcome to me of the entire game, and I was there watching it in person, was the fact that Alabama's offensive line handled Georgia's defensive line without too much trouble. And I still don't know how that happened. I think it's clear Alabama's offensive line probably played their best game of the season. Georgia's defensive line played their worst, but obviously there's more to it than that. And again, I thought it was a stunning outcome. First quarter went about like I anticipated this game would go, low scoring. I think it was 10-0 Georgia. And then Alabama exploded for 24 points in the second quarter, which is more points than Georgia had given up in a game all season in that quarter alone, and everything changed in that 15 minutes.
You know, Clay, I brought up, you know, how much the narrative could change in 60 minutes for what we built for 100 days and how Georgia can go from a generational team to the three seed. Alabama can go from an average Nick Saban team to the one seed and the favorite to win the national championship. After watching those 60 minutes, I don't know about you, I fully expect we'll see the rematch in Indy. Do you expect Alabama to win the rematch, or do you think Georgia bounces back?
I don't know. I mean, it was such a beatdown. To score 41 points to embarrass, I thought, in many ways, the Georgia defense. If they can protect Bryce Young like they did on Saturday, they're going to win the rematch. If they can't, then I think Georgia has a good chance to win. And I'm not enough of an X's and O's expert to explain what happened that Alabama, which didn't seem to be able to block anybody for much of the season in the SEC, suddenly turned into an impregnable wall in that game against Georgia. So, you know, I think Georgia is not an explosive offense. We've known that. Their defense has put them in a position where they didn't have to be that aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. It's sort of anaconda-like, almost Nick Saban-style, old school, what the Georgia defense would do in terms of just slowly kind of constricting the ability of the opposing offense to have any success against them at all. And I'm still flabbergasted that Georgia got whipped as bad as they did on the offensive and defensive line.
Who is Bryce Young to you? When you watch Bryce Young play, you've watched a lot of football over the years. I heard Olofsky compare him to Aaron Rodgers. There's obvious comparisons because of height to Kyler Murray. And just is it odd to you that Alabama in its history has never had a Heisman winning quarterback?
Not really, because, you know, prior to Nick Saban, I don't think Alabama hadn't had a Heisman Trophy winner at all, right?
That is correct. They're about to have four. Yeah. They had zero before Nick Saban got there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that kind of contextualizes that where Alabama was. So, no, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. And if you consider the history of Nick Saban offenses, it's only in the last 6 or 7 years that the quarterback has been relied upon to be a big-time playmaker in that offense. Really, I guess, kind of starting with Tua, right? In terms of, I know AJ McCarron was a very good college quarterback, but it's not like he went out and regularly scored, you know, 45 and 50 points, or they threw the ball a lot more than they did run the ball. So it was the tailback that was the dominant force of the Nick Saban offense for the first half, I would say, of his tenure at Alabama, and only in the second half that the quarterback has kind of taken over. But forecasting Bryce Young towards the NFL, to me, there isn't an easy comparison, because I saw Dan Orlovsky say he reminds him of Aaron Rodgers, and I mean, obviously that's wildly high praise, but Aaron Rodgers is a big dude. I think we underrate. I mean, you know, he's 6'4", a really big guy. Bryce Young isn't that, but he's a lot bigger than Kyler Murray. So I don't really know who the player is that would slot in. I mean, in terms of his size, his build, he's not built as, you know, like, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a pretty thick dude, not Ben Roethlisberger, but I mean, he's a big, broad-shouldered guy. It's a good question, like who Bryce Young would be. Somewhere between a Kyler Murray and an Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not really sure what that answer is, because I don't think there's a guaranteed guy you would slot in and say, hey, this is the guy. And also, I mean, he's not mobile like Kyler Murray, right? I mean, he's not an insane athlete like Kyler Murray is, but I think he's a more accomplished passer in many ways than Kyler Murray was early in his tenure, certainly as a quarterback in college football. So I was thinking about that the other day, because I saw the Orlovsky comparison and I didn't really think it matched. Also, I think Bryce Young has a really good arm. There are throws Aaron Rodgers makes in any given football game that nobody else in the NFL can make. I haven't seen Bryce Young as having that kind of arm, even in college football right now, where I watch him play and he makes throws that nobody else in college football can make. He doesn't seem as strong arm to me as Aaron Rodgers either.
Clay Travis is with us on the Pepsi Hotline. At Clay Travis, you see him on Fox Sports and Outkick, outkick.com. We were talking about this earlier. Josh Gattis won the Broyles Award. In light of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh taking a pay cut, which I'm sure he had to do to keep his job, but that is humiliating, even if it is still $4 million, to take a 50% pay cut just to keep your job. But then he stuck with Gattis, and now they're in the playoffs. Most people don't like Jim Harbaugh, Clay, but this is actually a really good story when you look at all those things combined, and here's a playoff team.
Yeah, look, but for a 16-point collapse in the second half against Michigan State, late in the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Michigan was up 30-14 against Michigan State. We're talking about this Michigan team as being up there as dominant in the regular season and beyond now, based on what they did to Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, as Georgia. And so I think Michigan fans didn't see this Jim Harbaugh team coming like it did. And to roll into the playoff like this, to roll into the Big Ten championship game, to win it, it took longer than I think any of us anticipated. But it is an incredible validation for their decision to stick with Harbaugh, and also to Harbaugh's decision, because if he decided to go back to the NFL now, I think you guys would probably acknowledge there'd be people who were upset, and I'm not saying that he's going to do that, but having beaten Ohio State, having won the Big Ten and advanced to the playoff, it wouldn't feel like he was running back to the NFL with his, tail stuck between his legs.
Okay, Clay, that one big job out there now, Oregon, with Mario Cristobal going to Miami. I'm gonna make you Oregon the search party right now. I'm going to give you some choices. A, you retread Chip Kelly. B, go with a proven offensive commodity like Lane Kiffin. C, Kellen Moore from the NFL, or D, you choose your own guy?
I'd probably go with Lane Kiffin, honestly. And people can say that's crazy, but I like the Mario Cristobal recruiting. Lane Kiffin just lost his offensive coordinator in Jeff Levy. You know that Kiffin has previously coached on the West Coast. In fact, he went up to Oregon, probably his best win that he had at SC. You guys correct me if you can think of a better one. But he won against Chip Kelly in Oregon on the road with SC in what was a pretty surprising upset win, if I remember correctly. Look, I like the idea a little bit if Chip Kelly would come back from UCLA. But what I think is interesting about having the Phil Knight money is money really is not an objective or an obstacle for Oregon right now. But I think you look at Willie Taggart leaving for Florida State, now Mario Cristobal leaving for leaving as he did for Miami. You have to wonder a little bit about what is it about this Oregon job that they're not able to retain their young, successful coaches. Now, they may have gotten lucky that Willie Taggart bailed and went to Florida State because I think they ended up in a better spot with Mario Cristobal. But I think you have to contact Lane Kiffin. And a part of me wonders, look, Kiffin has gotten his redemption in Oxford. Getting to 10 wins with the Rebels is an incredible accomplishment in year two. Is there any part of Lane Kiffin that knows the Pac-12 well, looks around at where the SEC is right now, given the fact that Matt Corral is leaving? Kiffin would know better than anybody whether or not he is going to be able to sustain that kind of level of success or whether it might be time to jump.
All right, he is Clay Travis, Outkick.com, at Clay Travis on Twitter. See him on Fox Sports as well. And I'm going to we're about to play it for those that stick around here, but I'm going to text it to you so you can see how you were used by the University of Alabama.
Did they tweet out the video too?
Yeah. I think actually, believe it or not, the football account did. I think the actual school account did, like the University of Alabama, not just the athletics.
You know, when I say I don't look at my mentions, I really don't. I get sucked into that. So did they tag me? I'm assuming that people tagged me on it.
That may be. You'll have to go look at that one. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll look forward. You guys text it to me. I'll watch it. That's pretty awesome.
All right. Thanks, Clay. Take care.
All right, see ya.
All right, Clay Travis with us on the Pepsi Hotline.